So our text is from Mark chapter 14, these words, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. One evening a few years ago, now about this time of the year, I tuned into a new show, a special advertised on Netflix. A special purporting to describe the archaeological evidence proving the historical reality of Jesus, the Jesus of history. It was an hour-long show, hosted by some celebrity of some sort or another, and was relatively harmless, describing this, that, and the other piece of ancient stuff long known for quite some time by scholars. Nothing new, really. But what was new, what I'd never heard before, what caught my attention, was the assertion made by a Jewish scholar then living in Jerusalem, a Jewish scholar who insisted that the founder of Christianity was not Jesus, of Nazareth, but instead the founder of Christianity was none other than Judas Iscariot. For you see, so the logic of the scholar, if Judas hadn't betrayed Jesus, Jesus never would have been arrested, never tried, never found guilty by the Sanhedrin, and then crucified. If only Judas had not betrayed Jesus, none of this Christianity stuff would have happened, for Jesus would have lived on until he simply died of old age. So, a modern Jewish take on Jesus and Christianity and Judas. Of course, Christians themselves more recently have struggled with Judas, struggled with the idea of Judas, the idea that a person was born into this world for the sole purpose of betraying Jesus, resulting then in his crucifixion. You see, our modern minds, filled as they are with ideas of space and time and causality, the butterfly effect, parallel universes, space-time continuums, Doctor Who, the Time Lord, Back to the Future via a souped-up DeLorean, Quantum Leap recast and revamped, Star Trek in all its iteration. Yes, our modern minds pummeled by the ideas of injustice and fate and destiny. Reach out to Judas in sympathy and ask, why? Why should Judas be damned? Why should Judas be hated? Why should Judas be despised? Why should Judas even be held liable for betraying Jesus? For obviously, Judas got the short straw when it came to life and history and religion. Does not even our text for this evening prove that that is so? Does not, in fact, Jesus himself cause Judas to betray him by simply saying, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me"? For it's not like the disciples themselves thought Jesus was joking or exaggerating or speaking metaphorically, for their reaction to what Jesus said betrays them. Their reaction demonstrates immediately that they believe that what Jesus said was true. That if Jesus said that one of them would betray him, one of them would indeed betray him. For what Jesus said was always true. What Jesus said always came true. For what Jesus said was simply the truth. So they were sorrowful, those disciples. They were sorrowful and not a little frightened, perhaps, that one of them would be the culprit and with the slip of a tongue somehow betray Jesus. But here we nowadays must stop. Stop with our speculation. Stop with our great wisdom and insight about physics and religion and chance. Here we must, in all humility, along with King David, confess, as he does in Psalm 131, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. In other words, we don't deal with, we don't speculate about great questions concerning Judas to which we have no answer. Judas betrayed Jesus. And as the Gospel of John tells us, Judas betrayed Jesus because Judas was a thief. Judas loved money. And being the treasurer for the disciples, he would dip into the funds donated to Jesus for his own purposes. It is his thievery, his desire for riches, that drove Judas ultimately to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The amount itself somewhat an insult to the value of Jesus. For in Exodus 21, that 30 pieces of silver, or shekels of silver, was the value of a slave. So we read there, if the ox gores a slave, male or female, the owner shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. No. Judas wasn't driven by fate or destiny or even by the words of Christ, words of truth, the truth. Judas was driven by greed and desire, just like we are when we see something in a store or online and we just gotta have it. Only later, of course, do we ask in retrospect why we made the purchase. And of course, Judas did that as well. When he realized what he had done, and he returned the silver to those who gave it to him, confessing that he had sinned in betraying innocent blood. So why all of the highfalutin theories exonerating Judas nowadays as some sort of victim of fate, or an example of divine injustice, or simply a cog in an eternal mechanism of some sort? Well, the reason we do, unlike Judas, indeed lift up our hearts and raise up our eyes as far as we can see, occupying ourselves daily with things that are too great and marvelous to understand. The reason we do such a thing is in showing such intellectual magnanimity towards Judas, we can also let ourselves off the hook. For if we can deem Judas Iscariot, to be innocent, we can certainly consider ourselves to be innocent as well. Or at least not to be held responsible for anything that we may do. For if Judas is just some sort of pawn in the divine chess game of life, so are we. But Jesus told the truth, the ultimate truth. It was Judas, the man Judas, who did indeed betray Jesus. And just as Judas was held responsible for that betrayal that Jesus did not cause by saying it would happen, but simply announced that he knew it would happen, just as Judas was held responsible for his betrayal of Jesus, so are we held responsible for the sins that we commit. We cannot blame fate. We cannot blame destiny, our genetic makeup, our economic circumstance, our race, our culture, our family, for our own actions. We cannot, with so much irony on the one hand, claim that we are free to determine who we are and what we are and how we'll act, and then in the very next breath assert that we bear no responsibility whatsoever at all to God or to anyone else for what we do, because it really is all a matter of chance and fate. No. We exist because we were created by God and created in His image. And being created by God, and unlike all other creatures and all of creation created in the image of God, we are responsible for us, for who we are and what we do and what we say, And that being so, we should not spend our time crafting lofty theories and ideas as to how it is we are the way we are, but simply humble ourselves before our Creator, pleading with Him to forgive us for what we have said and what we have done, our stupid thoughts and actions, our emotional outbursts and cynical musings, our desires that lead us here and there and like Judas, causing us to betray the innocent blood of Jesus by causing Jesus, in fact, to suffer and die for us, for the sins we commit. For ultimately, it was not the betrayal of Judas which caused the crucifixion of Christ. It was our sins, your sins, my sins, which caused Jesus, the very Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer and die willingly as a sacrifice sufficient enough to atone for, that is, to pay for the sins we commit. The payment for our sins, not the value of a slave, not 30 pieces of silver, but the holy precious blood and the innocent suffering and death of Jesus. Now the thing is, we cannot have the one without the other. We cannot on the one hand somehow think our way out of the betrayal of Judas and yet still benefit from the payment made to the Father in heaven of the holy precious blood and innocent suffering and death of Jesus. For if Judas is innocent, we're guilty. For if Judas is innocent, then the crucifixion of Christ ultimately is meaningless. For if Judas cannot be held accountable for being Judas, then there is no accountability for any sin and no need for sin to be accounted for. We're not spiritually sick. We have no need for a spiritual physician. But we are spiritually sick, our hearts and souls and minds clouded by the effects of, by not just an occasional bout with sin, but with long-term sin. The symptoms of which we experience every day, but of which we remain so often unaware, thinking that somehow we are being so magnanimous and forward-thinking and generous by dismissing the betrayal of Christ by Judas. But the words of Christ are true. They're always true. So when Christ declares that one of the disciples was to betray him, that's exactly what happened. And why is it so hard for us to admit, to confess what we have done? The truth, as we hear so often, can hurt. So we have come to live in a world which more and more presents us each day with things, with ideas and facts that we deem to be sort of true, somewhat true, kind of true, hoping somehow to shield ourselves of the reality of the truth. But without the truth, which is our spiritual condition called sinfulness, there is no truth for the remedy for that condition called justification, our being declared sinless through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise.